Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Partisan Primary Tuesday Election Day edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. How you doing, my little bud?
Crudy, I am in a really, really good mood today, man. I look forward to going and voting after this fine program. And the headlines just keep coming, baby.
You haven't voted yet, Tom?
I have not, no. I'm a very busy guy.
I have done my civic duty. And we'll certainly talk about the breaking headlines. I cannot believe the FBI waited until after the Devil's Advocates went off the air yesterday to raid Mar-a-Lago. We'll get there in a minute. I swear, we'll get there in a minute. But let me start with my Election Day experience. Can we start there? Is that okay?
Sure, man. Yeah, come on. Bring it.
First and foremost, young Caden, my elder son, first Election Day today. Caden's voting today.
Oh, excellent.
So Caden did his homework, and he pulled out the sample ballot. My wife printed one for him, and I'm glad we did. You know, a lot of races on that ballot. And so anyways, he's asking for dad's opinion. And so, you know.
Oh, you got one, right?
I have opinions to offer. And, you know, first and foremost, it's a partisan primary, so you can only pick one party. You can't vote on both sides of the ticket, right, Dom? So I asked him, I said, you voting Democrat or you voting Republican? I said, you voting for, you know, Tony Evers or Donald Trump and Scott Walker sort of guys? So anyways, he decided he was going to vote as a Democrat. I found that to be sound logic. I didn't have to disown his ass.
Right.
So anyways, then we got out the Democratic sample ballot. You know, that's the good one, the first one, as we had it in Middleton. So I went down the ballot with him, and at the top of the ticket, Governor Tony Evers, unopposed. I thought about it, but unopposed.
No, don't do it.
There are only two on the ticket, Ping, and Sarah Rodriguez running for lieutenant governor. I suspect Rodriguez may win that race. She's been thoughtful. She's a smart lady and a big Tony cheerleader. She would make a fine lieutenant governor. I think she will be on the ballot with him. And, of course, Josh Call, he's the incumbent. So all of these, pretty easy. You know, he asked me, who do you like? I said, well, I like them both, but Sarah Rodriguez, you know, I'd vote for her. And I did. And, you know, and we got down to the local races, and I did see my state rep, Diane Hesselbein. And she soon, I suspect, will be Senator Hesselbein. And I congratulated her, you know, election day and all. I bet she just voted for herself, as did I. She said, don't jinx it, Crudy. And I said, I won't jinx it for you. I think she'll be okay. You know, but the Senate race, Tom. You know, we talked about the Senate race. I said, do you like Ron Johnson? You've heard me talk about Ron. Dad knows Ron pretty well. Are you going to vote for him or you want to vote for a Democrat? Oh, no, Democrat. So anyways, you know, I probably took a different advocacy than, you know, I pointed out to my son. I said, here's what I think is going to happen. I think Mandela Barnes is going to be the nominee. I said, Dad and Dominic have met Mandela and interviewed Mandela, and we really like Mandela, and we're super excited that he's going to be the nominee. But Dad's not going to vote for Mandela. Dad's going to put his vote out there in a different direction. I said, because a lot of people dropped out of the race, and a lot of people are a little butthurt about that. You know, I'm trying to explain the concept of being butthurt because you aren't given any political choices, or at least that's the way a lot of the electorate feel right now on the Democratic side.
Well, and certainly many of the volunteers and people that put their money and effort and time behind, you know, political candidates that end up dropping out prior to the primary.
Yeah, it's quite frustrating because it's also a dry run. It's a dress rehearsal. I get excited to go vote. Days like today, they get me all pumped up. I prefer when they give you an I voted sticker. No sticker.
What? No sticker.
No sticker. No sticker offered. No sticker given.
What number were you?
Didn't give me a number either.
No number, no sticker.
I know. And I had to go to a new polling place. I didn't like that either. They moved us around quite a bit. I went to St. Bernard's. The last time, as you recall, Dom, in the spring election, I went to the Lakeview Park, and they said, you're in the wrong place. So I go to where I used to go. They said, you're in the wrong place. Actually, no one told me that. There just weren't any signs or anything. So I looked it up. St. Luke's on Hubbard Street in Middleton. I went to vote. Busy. There was a line. I was surprised at the brisk business they were doing at the polling stations. There was a line to feed the votes into the machine as well. Only one scanner machine that I observed was being utilized. So all the voters were coming back to one scanner. But I, and no offense, you know, Mandela, I'm super excited. I am looking forward to having Mandela, hopefully on the show, or at least sound from him. Earl Ingram's going to be at Mandela's campaign party tonight because we are eagerly anticipating the nominee. But I'm a single issue voter, as you know, Dom.
What issue is that today?
Progressive talk radio, baby. I am in it for the format, for the platform. I'm in it for radio. So if you support the radio, then, you know, I feel obligated to support you back. And who embraced Lefty Talk Radio and is still in the race? There's only one guy.
And who's that guy?
You haven't heard the Peter Pekarsky ads around here?
I really don't listen to the radio a whole lot.
Oh. I voted for Peter. I swear to God, I voted for Peter. And I barely clinched. You know what I mean? Barely clinched. What,
wasn't that difficult for you?
No. No, I felt okay.
Given a little bit of love back?
Yes. In the case of Peter, I tipped the cat. You know, my single issue votership was cast upon Peter Pekarsky because he did. He supported the Lefty Talk Radio enterprise that is growing into civic media. And he was the only candidate that consistently did that. So thank you, Peter. And Peter, you know, whether or not he's going to shock the world later today, I know he got at least one vote. And it was mine. So he's not going to get, you know, he's off. You're off the schneid, Peter. And if you voted for Peter, talking about Peter Pekarsky, then he got at least two votes. So I'm feeling like Peter's going to have a good day as well. But, you know me. And there was one other candidate. Oh, Mark Pocan was on the ballot, so I got to vote for Mark.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one other guy that didn't come on the radio with us and seek my vote in the primary, so I didn't give it to him.
And who was that?
Tony. Where's Tony been?
Tony Evers?
Yeah, of course, he doesn't have a primary opponent, so he didn't feel any sort of impetus to come ask for our votes. You know, that's the problem, as I perceive it, with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And I'm going to tell Ben Wickler when he comes on the big show about 8:45 tonight, the extended coverage. You know, when you don't give us any options, and I'm not saying anyone should have run against the incumbent Evers, obviously. Come November, no doubt, I'm voting for Tony. But as a single-issue voter, Tony Evers should not be he should not be rationing his appearances on this talk radio product, be it here with us or anywhere else. I mean, if people are inviting you on, Tony, and I assure you, I have been invited through the governor's campaign multiple times, I don't even get so much as acknowledgement. So, you know, I realize it's an uncontested primary, but you know, I snarkily thought about inserting a name or two on there.
Why? Writing yourself in.
Well, I didn't really think about me, but, you know, I've thought of others. But ultimately, I just chose to leave it blank because literally the governor of Wisconsin didn't come to radio whatsoever, never came and asked for my vote. And I would hope, you know, he would perhaps learn from Hillary Clinton. If you don't ask for my vote, you don't get my vote. Know what I mean? So, Tony, here we are, 844-967-2789. I don't think he'll want for Crudy's one partisan primary vote today.
Single issue voting. I got it.
Today in a partisan primary.
And then, but will you have that same attitude come the general?
Oh, no. No, I'm voting for Tony.
Yeah. But are you still going to be a single issue voter? I mean, if Tony doesn't come on between now and then, would you leave it blank again?
Unlikely. Unlikely. I'm not.
Governor Tony, Michaels?
No, I would not vote for Michaels. I would not.
But what if Michaels, if you invited Michaels and Michaels come, if Michaels makes it through the primary, invite Michaels and Michaels shows up and Tony doesn't, would you vote for Michaels? I mean, as a single issue voter.
How about this? If Michaels wins the primary, I'll invite Rebecca Clayfish. Does that count?
I don't think so.
Is that good for anything?
I don't know. Not really. No.
Well, you know, we air grievances on Friday, so.
And you're not here Friday, so you're airing your grievances.
No, I am not going to be here on Friday. This is a planned little foray up to the thumb. You know, Wisconsin. It's got the thumb there, Door County. We're going up to the thumbnail, the quiet side of the island or peninsula, as the case may be. My understanding. They all seem like same town after town after town. I've been there number of times. It's one of our favorite places. But, you know, Dom, what I should be talking about is the fact that Mar-a-Lago got raided. We'll get there very, very soon. And if you're Tim Michaels and you have the endorsement of the former president and it's the day before your primary, are you standing by your man? You know what I mean?
Oh, they are. They absolutely are. The cultists never leave the cult leader, man.
Well, it's partisan primary day in the great state of Wisconsin. Don't forget, go vote, but not until after the Devil's Advocates. Polls open until 8, and then special extended coverage with yours truly and a fine cast of characters, probably not including Dom.
Probably
later,
not.
Until they're all decided, baby. More Devils. We'll be back.
I don't know what to do with the rest of my life.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you stick around for the entire program. We have Andrea Gage Michael. She's coming on the show at 4:30. She's running for the Wisconsin 1st Senate District. She's going to take on Andre Jacques. Looking forward to introducing our audience to Andrea Gage Michaels. In the meantime, Crudy, you talking about this raid on Mar-a-Lago.
May I first, as a single-issue voter, just say we may have some air support to offer in Wisconsin's 1st Senate District. I would encourage attorney Andrea Gage Michaels' candidate, you know, embrace those that embrace you.
Give a hug back, man.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
They get it on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. It's all about relationships. I don't want to be the king. I want to be the king maker. Or the queen maker, as the case may be.
Well, we'll have to find out. She'll be here at the bottom of the hour. But Crudy, you ask, what about the Republicans? Are they standing by their man? Well, certainly nationally, that seems to be the case.
No, what I really want to know is what's in the safe. I mean, Trump very upset that they went in his safe. Did you ever watch Pam and Tommy, the movie?
I've seen the Netflix series. I've seen a couple episodes.
Yes, I'm sure you've also seen the Pam and Tommy on the interwebs, the porn version of Pam and Tommy. Not the, you know, movie about the porn version of Pam and Tommy, but he stiffed a contractor and the guy came back and stole his safe. And there was, you know, a video of the marital relations, let's just say, on a boat. And It became famous. Well, Dom, what's the chances? Trump's got some naked photos of Ivanka in that safe.
Oh, man.
You know, the most cherished.
I don't know, but my understanding is Alex Jones texts some naked photos of his wife to Roger Stone, some of the reporting I've seen, but, you know, neither here nor there. On that note, a guy follow Palmer Report up on the Twitter.
Does he speculate what's out in the safe?
No, but he did say this. It's not getting enough attention that a supposed billionaire former president of the United States who stole classified documents and was trying to hide them from the Department of Justice had a hotel-style safe that sells for $153 and is designed to be opened by the manager. So may not have been too big of a safe, and I trust Palmer, generally speaking. But let's stick to the topics here, Crudy, because it is
safe?
Election. Yeah, right. Regular.
Was Gideon's
old
Bible in there?
I don't know. Here it is, of course, election day here in the state of Wisconsin. And what are the Republicans thinking, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? Wisconsin Republican governor candidates Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels expressed anger, I tell you, over news Monday that FBI agents searched the residence of former President Donald Trump. In an interview with reporters after voting Tuesday, Clayfish said she found the search shocking and unprecedented. "I'm following it the same as you all this morning," Clayfish said. "I have not seen any new developments. I remain shocked by what I saw and what I'm hearing. I sure hope the president and his family are okay."
They weren't even there. I mean, they weren't even there, Becky. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, shocked. I mean, obviously, I mean, the FBI had to go and get a warrant, right? The judge had to sign off, and that has to be like evidence of a crime. And it has to be very specific, right? But none of that, none of this. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. I mean, if he did something wrong, he should absolutely be held accountable. And I just want to remind everyone, you know, in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty. You know, something along that line. No, I'm shocked. I hope his family's okay. Michaels, who was just endorsed by Trump, as Curtis said.
Oh, that's got to sting, the timing. Ooh, that's got to sting a little.
Said in a tweet Monday night that the search was a political witch hunt. "Republicans in Wisconsin are far too familiar with overzealous prosecutors. Elections have consequences. Vote!" Michaels tweeted again Tuesday after voting, "We woke up this morning to stakes even higher than we ever thought. Do we want a government of the people or a government targeting the people? Your vote today is the first step in fighting back. That's what I just did."
Dominic,
so,
we were
they're still full on culty Trumpy. Never, not out of consideration that maybe he did something wrong. Not under any sort of consideration that maybe there is justification. Maybe the judge is right. Maybe the FBI. Maybe there's a concern about these, you know, top secret documents that Donald Trump has had. You know, so sensitive that they cannot even describe them to the public. No concern there. It's just a political witch hunt and persecution of the former guy.
Do any of them speculate about what could have been in the safe?
Because
that's what I want to hear about. 844-967-2789. Also, the quote from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Dom's buddy. One more example, a quote from Rojo. One more example of our two-tiered system of justice. Johnson rhetorically asking against whom the government will weaponize IRS agents provided in the Inflation Reduction Act. "The answer is obvious," Johnson wrote in a tweet shortly after the news of the raid broke. "They're political enemies." I mean, they literally targeted James Comey for audit after he got fired.
And so the other Andrew, another one too. I forget the other
McCabe.
Guy that was McCabe.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, just a random happenstance, right?
Republican U.S. Rep. Tom Tiffany, Toxic Tom, who sits on the House Judiciary Committee, called on the committee to bring FBI Director Christopher Wray, who I would point out was a Trump appointee, and U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland to testify about the raid. Americans deserve answers.
I mean, what it asks, I mean, listen, I appreciate the sentiment, but, you know, we don't comment on ongoing investigations.
Trump in a statement.
Yeah, come on. What are they going to say? That's all they're going to say if you drag them in front of a committee.
That doesn't mean they won't try. Trump in a statement Monday evening announced that a large group of FBI agents raided his home and called the actions a weaponization of the justice system, an attack by the radical left Democrats who desperately don't want me to run for president in 2024. They even broke into my safe! Exclamation point.
What was in the safe, man?
What was in the safe? I'm telling you, it's, you know, I'd say naked pictures of Melania, but of course,
they're those are all over the internet, man. You know, put those in a safe. Why waste the space?
Why waste the space, indeed? Now, there was a report earlier today. I saw someone reported that Trump went to the safe prior and got 50 grand cash and six packs of Tic Tacs. Come back, a fine Wisconsin Senate candidate. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.
What's in the box?
Thank God, the police.
Right to jail. Right.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the partisan primary Tuesday Election Day edition. Now we welcome a fine guest to the program. She's an attorney, Andrea Gage Michaels, and also a candidate for Wisconsin. It's Senate District 1, right, Andrea?
That is correct. It's Andrea Gage Michaels against Andre Jacques.
Well, got to keep the Andrea and the Andre separate, but let me ask you this. You don't have a partisan primary opponent today.
That's correct. I do not have an opponent, but I hear that I'm neck and neck with Andrea Gage Michaels. The returns are looking good. So,
congratulations. Yeah, we're all pulling for you, Andrea.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
So you will pass through successfully, I suspect, the partisan primary a little bit later today. And the opponent you are going against in the fall, Andre Jacques, I suspect, the incumbent does not face an opponent either, or if he does, in all probability, he will pass through easily. Why'd you run against Andre Jacques?
Well, you know, it was really a moral choice and not a career choice. I felt morally compelled to run against him for some of the reasons that you might suspect. He actually does not have a primary opponent. So if no one had jumped in, he would have swept the election after the entirety of my neighborhood in East Appear getting redistricted. And I really felt that the people of East Appear and Senate District 1 deserved an opportunity to vote for their state senator. And I think they deserve an opportunity to vote for a state senator who stands with public health, with access to COVID testing and vaccines and women's access to healthcare. He does neither. And I, like I said, I felt compelled to run. The minute that I found out that my home was redistricted and that I would be Andre Jacques' constituent, I started making calls the next morning. And by later that afternoon, I was working to get my name on the ballot.
Now, some people may not know Andre Jacques, a state senator, sort of a husky guy, had COVID. And it was pretty extreme. And we had seen from the social media postings of his family, I believe it was his wife saying, go get your family, strongly consider getting your family vaccinated. I thought the implication was perhaps he was not. But he has been oppositional, and the entire Republican Party has been oppositional. Let's start with public health and the COVID pandemic. How much of that plays in? I mean, Andre Jacques, despite his own his own prognosis, never really seemingly came around on this issue.
That is really the primary reason that I'm running, not above and beyond refuting medical science, above and beyond gutting the ability of our local county health departments, above and beyond really just being an obstructionist for Governor Tony Evers, who had a 70% approval rating for his handling of COVID. The fact that he hasn't shown the integrity to talk about his experience in real terms and how it affected him and his family. We lost my mother in late 2020 after her own bout of long-haul COVID. And my husband and I, my husband who has type 1 diabetes, even though we were vaccinated and boosted, we got a breakthrough case this January. And it wasn't nearly as bad as what my mother had suffered in 2020. But after having that experience, after actually having to go to the emergency room, have our vitals checked, and have where they have Navy doctors stationed at Bellin Hospital here in town, have the doctors tell us that we were doing well, not in spite of the vaccine, but because of it. After having those life experiences, I couldn't stand by and watch someone who had battled COVID, had gone into the ICU, and didn't have the intestinal fortitude to talk about it. I'm still praying for and sending his family positive energy. You have to have some level of respect for people who put themselves in the public sphere, but this is just not something that we can talk around. And the people of Senate District 1, the people of Brown County, the people of Manitowoc County, up through Door County, I really believe that they're tired of reckless rhetoric. Regardless of where they may have stood on masks, regardless of where they stand on the vaccine, although I think more and more people and more moderate Republicans are also in favor of the vaccine than we might believe, people are tired of games. They don't want to pay their elected officials to play partisan games. They really don't.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Andrea Gage Michaels. She is a candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Senate District going up against Andre Jacques. Andrea, thank you for coming around. And I got to tell you, and thank you for stepping up and running against someone who, if you did not, assuming, would not have an opponent. And I think we have too many Republicans in this state that are running unopposed, so I appreciate that. I found out about your candidacy as I was lamenting the fact that there's so many people not, so many Republicans not being challenged. I was at a wedding and a mutual friend of ours, he said, oh, you got to meet Andrea. She's running against Andre Jacques. And I was like, what are you talking about? Introduce me, tell me. So we had a chance to meet and talk a little bit, Andrea, but our audience is not aware. If you would, why don't you give yourself, tell people about your background a little bit, if you would, please.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I'm so glad that we were connected by my dear friend, who's also a very staunch gay rights activist in Milwaukee. And he knows that I stand with gay rights, with transgender rights, and I have a long history of doing so. I started out my career very similar to what we're doing right now. I started out as a TV producer and then a reporter, worked in 2 Wisconsin media markets and a couple down south. When I was working in my last on-air job in Madison, I was interviewing these brilliant public policy leaders who had a difficult time at times expressing their thoughts and getting those across to mass audiences. So I decided to go into media relations for Planned Parenthood, where I worked from 2004 to 2008. Then worked in media relations statewide in Wisconsin and Minnesota for the national AFL-CIO in support of the Obama race and some Senate and congressional races in both states. Then went to work for a state senator from the Wauwatosa area. And those experiences really led to the choice to run today. You know, I know as a former state Senate staffer, and then later I was a state bar staffer, that so much more could be done. So many more resources could be brought to Northeast Wisconsin, and that Northeast Wisconsin has, well, with any community that's outstate, they're going to feel somewhat disconnected from our major cities and from our capital. But there's so much that more that could be done to bring us together. And I think that most everyday hardworking people in this area, they believe in equality, they believe in fairness, they believe in preserving our environment. They believe in being able to access healthcare, and they believe in being able to access the internet, which is a real, real problem in this corridor.
Andrea, you mentioned your experience at Planned Parenthood. Of course, Roe v. Wade. We've seen what's going on in Kansas recently here in Indiana as well. How is that conversation going up in the Green Bay market, and what would you do to try to affect that here in the state of Wisconsin?
I think the conversation is going much along the same lines as it is in other parts of the state. I think that people might suspect that folks wouldn't feel affected by it, wouldn't feel bothered by it. But I had a hunch after working with women who were between the age, primarily women who were between the ages of 60 and 90. I moved here to be an elder rights attorney and have worked in the Senate District 1 counties, that women, regardless of their current political affiliation, very strongly believe that a woman's right to choose is fundamental. And that has been my experience ever since I started gathering signatures to get on the ballot. Even when I'm not standing on people's doorsteps, it's coming up quite frequently. And the really exciting development in this part of the state is the number of women and men in their 20s who are standing up. They are protesting. There are protests in Green Bay. I was a keynote speaker in downtown Kewaunee, which a lot of people might not expect that there were going to be activist-led protests in downtown Kewaunee, but it's happening. People are paying attention, and they want to make sure that their state legislature, if we're going to leave such fundamental freedoms up to the states, they want to see qualified people in the Capitol.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got to find candidate, find guest. She is attorney Andrea Gage Michaels. Appreciate you coming around. Got a few more political questions, but I'm a single issue voter. I got to ask you about the political environment in Green Bay and the Fox Valley. What would you describe as the political environment there, media-wise? Is there anything resembling fair and equal coverage? And what role does right-wing talk radio play in the market, to your opinion?
You know, I think right-wing radio does have an impact. It does have an influence. But what I've been seeing is a real organic movement. I mean, we're seeing social media posts. We're seeing progressive newspapers, more community newspapers emerging in this market. So I think that the momentum is building, and I'm really confident in the mainstream media in Green Bay that as these issues unfold, as they see how deeply people care about the issues, I think there will be more and more coverage. And I think that this media market is not immune to all eyes being on it. I have a special perspective because I did statewide media relations that I do think that the Green Bay market is going to really heed what people are talking about and what people are saying. But I also think it's really incumbent upon your followers and listeners in Madison, in Milwaukee, nationwide, the more and more people who pay attention to this race, the more coverage we'll get. And the more living rooms that we get into on local news, the more mainstream newspaper coverage we get. When people sit down and talk about these issues, when they talk about women's health, when they talk about COVID, when they sit down and talk with their families, whatever source they've got that information from, when we start having those kind of sit-down conversations, that's when progressives and liberals win, because our ideas are focused on progress. And most people in Wisconsin, and Northeast Wisconsin is no exception, they want to start moving forward, and not in a slogan kind of way, but in a real, true, let's do better by our people kind of way.
But it's hard to move forward when a lot of the participants in the electoral process are still relitigating the 2020. And I would point towards Senator Andre Jacques as the only Wisconsin state senator who sent a letter to Mike Pence the day before the Capitol insurrection. Do you have any issue with Andre Jacques joining 14 other lawmakers and effectively telling Pence, don't do your job?
I don't know that there is a single issue that Andre, Jacques, and I would not be opposed. I hear he's good for the environment, that so that might be about it. But I am very opposed to his actions around insurrection and turning a blind eye to the actual needs of people in Northeast Wisconsin.
If people want to get involved in your campaign, how can they do so?
Well, we are welcoming any form of support. We'd love to see people come up and go door to door. We'd love to see people donate. If they can spread the word through social media, we will take whatever grassroots activism that your listeners can offer.
It is going to be a sprint. Good luck to you, candidate Andrea Gage Michaels. Did I say the first name right?
Andrea. Middle America, Midwestern, Andrea. And in high school, I was a sprinter, so we'll be in good shape.
At least I didn't call you Andre. Thank you so much. More Devil's Advocates will be back.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take. As always, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, Andrea Gage Michaels. It wouldn't be a crudy interview if I didn't screw up the
Andrea running against name. Andre. I could see how it could get confusing.
Well, you know, I'll do better next time. Now I know how to say your name.
No, and seriously, Andrea, solid human beings. I mean,
she's got a better resume than we do.
I know, dude. And she's running against Andre Jacques. I mean, have you ever talked to Andre Jacques or hear him speak or, you know, listen to any of the shenanigans he's been involved with? Man. So come on, Green Bay. Come on to Pierre. Do the right thing.
He has been a strong advocate for horses.
Yes. Yes, he has. Big horse sex problem up in, I guess, his neck of the woods.
Up on the thumb, I suspect. Near the Kewaunee area, maybe? I don't know. Algoma? You know, it sure would be nice if there was some air support to offer fine candidates in outstate Wisconsin areas.
If someone would work on a plan to make that happen, that would be fantastic.
I know. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I'll have to keep working on a plan.
Got to have somewhere to go, man.
Can't talk about the plan. Can't talk about Fight Club.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Don't talk about Fight Club. Not on the air.
First rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Dom, I gotta come back to the raid at Mar-a-Lago. And what's in the safe? Of course, that's the question we all want to know. And if you've got a comment or some rampant speculation, what did Donald Trump have in his personal Mar-a-Lago safe that the FBI raided? He made a special point of noting in a written statement, and they searched my safe. But want to come back to the statements made by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, because there's some crazy in there, Dom, at least to my point of view. You know, maybe you think it's super cool that Ron thinks like this. But here is what he said reportedly. Now, Ron doubled down Tuesday in an interview on the Dan O'Donnell show. And if you're unfamiliar, Dan O'Donnell is a righty whitey. I would say somewhere along the line, Dan sold his soul, because I think he's a smart enough guy. But Dan sold his soul, you know, for a little bit of coin and a little bit of fame on right-wing talk radio in Milwaukee and Madison. But anyways, he called the FBI and the Department of Justice, talking about Ron Johnson, he called them corrupt and claimed he was the target of an FBI operation in August of 2020. Did you know that Ron was the target of an FBI operation in August of 2020?
I did not.
Involving Russian disinformation.
That's right.
Well, Johnson noted he had been subpoenaed by the FBI for documents connected to the Bureau's probe into Russian interference in the 16 election and claimed he never received the documents. I never got those documents. Just these fake elector ballots that I got to give to Mike Pence. And let's not forget the recent reporting Manafort confessed this week. he was colluding with the Russians.
But that's but Rojo was subpoenaed on for the 2016 election. Is that what he's saying? When there regarding efforts for Russian interference in the 2016. I remember when he was ahead of the Senate his
committee.
He
subpoenaed the FBI.
Oh, he subpoenaed the
Rojo
FBI.
Rojo subpoenaed the FBI. Right. He was targeted by an FBI operation in August of 2020 when he was disseminating false Russian disinformation,
right.
Allegedly.
Yes, I recall that.
Here is what Johnson said. I have to scratch my head and I wonder if maybe that is part of the treasure trove and did the FBI go in to seize that? Johnson said of the raid at Mar-a-Lago, because my guess is some of that information may have little evidence of things that aren't particularly flattering to the FBI. So Rojo is claiming the FBI went into Mar-a-Lago to seize documents about Rojo. And, of course, they were unflattering to the FBI because...
So what, the FBI was getting their blackmail documents back that Trump was hanging over their head? Is that what Rojo's suggesting here?
Sort of.
I mean...
So clarification, a follow-up question asked by Righty Whitey Dan O'Donnell. Are you saying that it's possible that the FBI went into Mar-a-Lago to seize records that might show malfeasance on the part of the FBI? I mean, not to advance a conspiracy theory, but let's advance it.
I mean, look at my forehead. I'm just asking questions.
Okay, so Rojo says in response, I say at this point, anything is possible. Johnson responded, later adding that he would investigate the incident should he become chair of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. And if he is reelected and Republicans take control of the Senate in November, that's a lot of ifs, sir. Here is what he told Dan O'Donnell. I have experienced the corruption of these agencies, so I don't put anything past them at this point. So that was Rojo on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. Then there's Derek Van Orden, the insurrectionist guy running in the third CD unopposed.
The very Alex Jonesy guy?
He is unopposed, Dom. He is your Republican nominee. He won his nomination today, and I haven't even seen the vote tally. But a little bit more. Derek Van Orden, a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, who was endorsed by Trump and attended a Trump rally ahead of the insurrection on January 6th. And just the other night we saw him, right?
Yep.
Well, he weighed in as well, weighed in on the raiding of Mar-a-Lago. And what's in the safe? I woke up in the United States of America, although he spelled it stated. He misspelled United States. And you want to be a congressman. But anyways, I woke up in the United States of America, but I'm not sure what country I will be going to sleep in tonight. Getting out of red eye to Mexico? What are you telling us, Van Orden?
Right, dude.
Now, your buddy, Senator... U.S. Rep. Glenn Grothman, you know, his president called him Grothman, so I feel like he changed his name to Grothman. A Republican from Glenn Beulah said, it seems like something that would happen more in a banana republic going after a previous president like that. He was the most Trumpiest congressman in the U.S. Congress.
Yes, he was. Also,
running
unopposed. Just terrible.
That's galling. You know who else is running unopposed? Mike Gallagher. Gallagher, the Green Bay Republican representing the state's 7th CD, he's in Congress, issued a statement Tuesday afternoon demanding the Department of Justice tell the American public what they're looking for, why they believed it was there, and most importantly, what they found. And they must tell us now. We need maximum transparency, oversight, and accountability to preserve the trust in the intelligence community, the DOJ, and federal law enforcement. Because that's what they do, right? They go do a raid and then they run to the police and they say, here's all the evidence and just dirty underwear and all the stuff. And
no, that's
here's not, what's in Trump's safe.
That's not at all what they do. They keep it quiet. They keep it close. They keep it tight. They do not comment on ongoing investigations, and they never would have gotten a subpoena. A judge would not have signed off on it. I mean, the FBI, DOJ, they knew what the kind of heat was coming down, and they still decided to make this call to make this happen because Trump's as guilty as they come. Pick your topic. He's guilty.
Well, as Congressman Mark Pocan, my congressman, said, it appears there may be some accountability in progress. And that is a good thing.
Amen, brother.
More Devil's Advocates, hour two. That is a good thing.
Nobody did what I've done.